Amen. Luke chapter 2. Let's all stand together if you would. Let me read a few verses here, beginning in verse 7. Luke chapter 2, of course, you're probably familiar with this chapter. It is the detailed description of Jesus' birth. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him. By the way, firstborn means she had others. She didn't. She wasn't a virgin when she died. So I don't know why so many people are still worshiping Virgin Mary who's not a virgin. Right. But that's, anyway, that's another thing. Verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Jews require a sign. Remember, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. Boy, can you imagine being there on that night in that field? And, you know, up to that point, it's just sleepy shepherd, stinky sheep, you know, cold winter night. But all of a sudden, this angel shows up, and then there's a whole host of angels singing and praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What a blessing. What a tremendous night that was. Let me preach to you from this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to do a whole lot of teaching, preaching a little bit here and there, but I need to cover, let me preach on this topic. Can Christians celebrate Christmas? Can Christians celebrate Christmas? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your help now. I know that this is a simple subject and a no-brainer to many of us, but Lord, we also have others and really a world of people who try to cast doubt and try to discourage and just caught up in many different theories. So Lord, help us today to come to the bottom line, to draw a conclusion based on your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And, excuse me over here a minute. All right, I'm just making sure everything is working because I want to make sure this is recorded because there's a lot of people who aren't here. But the fact is, Christians around the world are being, and you may or may not have heard this, but many people around this time of the year are bombarded with gainsayers. Yeah. People who say, well, Christmas is a Catholic holiday. I had a question. You know, we take questions and answers around here, and we try. I told you I would answer them on purpose because it helps edify all of us. And but a question was: isn't Christmas more pagan than Christian? After all, did Jesus ever tell us to celebrate his birth? Okay? And that's the question. So my message today is a lot of teaching, a lot of study of the Scripture and historical proof and documented data. But for starters, let me say this. Jesus never specifically mentioned that we should celebrate his birthday. True. That's true. But Jesus never specifically mentioned that we should celebrate anyone's birthday.
That's right.
Amen.
Including your children's.
That's right. Amen.
Or yours.
Amen.
But we do.
Amen.
Jesus never specifically mentioned that we should eat three meals a day, if you really want to get real technical. As a matter of fact, the biblical principle is you eat what God gives you when he gives it to you.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread. And so he said, consider the ravens and the sparrows. When do they eat? Whenever they find food.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, if you want to get real technical, go back to the Old Testament. Elijah was only fed twice a day by those ravens at the Brook Cherith.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying we got to stop eating that third meal, but I'm telling you, we got to get real here, okay? Besides, listen, let me say this. We don't celebrate Christ's birthday as much as we're celebrating his coming to earth.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
His coming, because this is not his beginning.
Right.
Your birthday is not your beginning either, really. You were conceived 9 months before that.
Right.
Right? So why don't we celebrate 9 months before your birthday? So the fact is, we're not celebrating a birth. We're not celebrating a beginning. We're celebrating His coming to earth because we know why He came.
Yes.
Amen? When the angels... Look again, let me look at the scripture I just read to you a minute ago. When these angels appeared to the shepherds, and then that whole host of angels, and a multitude of the heavenly... How many is that, preacher? That's a big choir.
Yeah.
That is a huge choir, a whole multitude of angels. What were they doing? They were praising God. Why were they praising God? Because Jesus had come.
Amen.
I think we could celebrate it.
Yeah.
They were. Heaven sure was celebrating it. And those shepherds sure were excited. Amen. They were celebrating it. It was a big deal. Listen, it had been prophesied 400 plus years ago in the Old Testament at this time. They were waiting for this day. They knew their Messiah was coming. The simple folks like the shepherds were still in touch with God. And that's why I believe the angel showed up to them.
Yeah.
Because if he would have come to the Pharisees, they would have said, "Who cares? What?"
Yeah, come on. That's right, brother.
He came to the shepherds. He came to lowly people like you and me, simple folks who knew we needed a Savior, amen, who knew we could not do this on our own. They were waiting for Him. Hundreds, can you imagine? Their parents passed it down to their parents, their grandparents, and great-grandkids, and great-great-grandkids, and it had been passed down for generations, four, five, six, seven generations, that there's a Messiah coming one day, and it's all in the Old Testament prophesied.
Right.
Amen.
And so when those shepherds heard that Jesus had showed up, listen to me, they were excited. It was a big deal. Don't tell me they didn't celebrate. That's all they were doing that night, was celebrating. They celebrate a lot more of that than when we got born. The main thing I want to bring out in this message today is this. If in Christmas we can celebrate it, right there is enough, really. But I'm going to give you I'm going to load up your wagon today with reasons why we can celebrate Christmas, okay?
Amen.
If we can bring glory to God in what we do, then we won't grieve God.
That's right. Amen, Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Look in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest.
Amen.
Look at verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. There is nothing but glory surrounding Jesus' birth.
Amen.
There is nothing but, not just glory, but the glory of God.
Amen.
The glory of Almighty God surrounding the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, surrounding His manifestation. The word birth is really, you know, I understand what we're saying, but don't get caught. That's not the beginning of Jesus. It is simply His manifestation in the flesh, but we're going to call it the birth for sake of argument. But the fact is, it brought glory to God on the very day it happened, and it's still bringing glory to God today.
Amen.
Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I got a lot to say, so I better hurry up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Verse 23. All things are lawful for me. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Now jump down for verse 30. For if I be by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
You see that in verse 31? Listen to me. Let me explain something to you today. The Christian life is not a bunch of rules and regulations.
Right.
Now, come on, don't get nervous on me. We have a Bible for a reason. But the Christian life is not about keeping a bunch of laws.
That's right.
All things are lawful for me, he said.
Amen.
You see, we've got to get away from the fact that we're just trying to keep a law. If that's all you're doing, then you are of all men most miserable.
Yeah.
That's why there's no joy in your life. That's why there's no joy in your walk with God. That's why there's no purpose. That's why there's no meaning. That's why you feel like it's a drudgery. I have to get up and go to church. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to witness. You're missing it.
That's right.
All things are lawful unto me, but listen, all things do not edify me. All things are not expedient, verse 23. What God's saying is, what the Apostle Paul is saying is, listen, all things are lawful, but what I'm doing is that which is expedient. The word expedient means it's advantageous, it's profitable to me as a Christian. Okay? Hey, listen to me. The Christian life is not about living a bunch of rules and regulations. It's about living a life that will glorify God.
Amen.
Now, you're going to have to abide by His Word in order to do that. But you don't have to, you're not living rules and regulations. Listen, you should be walking by faith out of love for a Father who sent His Son to give His life for you.
Right. Amen.
That makes all the difference in the world. Yes, religion is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. I understand that. Yes, pure religion, vain, undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Yes, that's religion, but that's not all there is to a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's a relationship with God, His law written in our hearts now. It's not about abiding by laws and rules and regulations. It's about glorifying God as we edify one another.
Amen.
Listen to me. This might help you if you pay attention. Our job, our purpose, I told you, is to witness for Christ. We just talked about that in Sunday school.
Amen.
Ultimately, that's what this all is about. Because nothing brings God more glory than when His children are telling other people about His Son.
Amen.
The gospel. And that edifies you, by the way.
Yes.
I said that edifies you, by the way.
Amen.
That builds you up. That makes you understand more about why you're here. That allows for God's glory to rule and reign in your heart. And by the way, we don't want to provoke the Lord to jealousy. He's a jealous God. I'm telling you today, listen, there's not the Christian life is a relationship with our Heavenly Father who desires and deserves that our lives honor and glorify Him.
Amen.
We need to boil it down to that. That's not heresy. That's not blasphemy. It's everything the New Testament teaches us is that we live to glorify God. And quit. So we don't worry about, well, what's so wrong with that? You ought to be saying, does that glorify God?
Yes.
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 Right.
If it doesn't, then it's way wrong.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, the Bible doesn't say I can't smoke a cigarette. But the Bible says you're to glorify God in your body.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Amen.
See the difference there?
Amen.
But I'm talking about Christmas. I'm getting back to Christmas. I told you, there's so much in here. But anyway.
Wow.
The glory of God is our priority. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
So what about Christmas? Does it glorify God when Christians celebrate Christmas? Well, it seemed to there in the fields of those shepherds there in Bethlehem. But let me just go over the main controversial issues here, and then we'll go home. The main sources of controversy when it comes to celebrating Christmas is, number one, what about December 25th? December 25th. Isn't December 25th a pagan day? Let me explain to you the background here. Mithra was the Persian version of the Hindu sun god Mitra. According to this Persian religion, Mithra was the god of light, and his feast was celebrated each year on December 25th, but listen, beginning in 274 A.D. 274 after the death of Anno Domini. That's not means after death. It means in the year of our Lord, but it means after Christ, okay? 274. Now listen. You're going to have to pay attention. Don't go to sleep on me because these numbers are important. The first recorded celebration of Christmas on December 25th by the Roman Catholics, which is what everybody seems to think it came from, the first recorded celebration by the Catholics on the 25th took place in 336 A.D. I've done the math for you. That's 23 years later.
Amen.
23 years later. In other words, listen, undoubtedly, they had some early elements of that early Christmas Catholic celebration came from that source of Persian, Zoroastrian, sun god, Hinduism. But that's why so many people are against Christmas, because they say the source of it is Catholic. And it's even worse, it's Persian, it's Hindu. But listen, the truth is quite different than what so many think.
That's right.
According to the encyclopedia, which is documented, Britannica, December 25th had already been declared, listen, as the date to celebrate Christ coming by Christians, listen, in 221 AD. Yeah. 53 years before the Persian celebration.
Right. Amen.
53 years before the God of Light feast was instituted. Many claim that Christmas is a holiday that started by pagans and the Christians took it over. And you read some sources and that's what they're going to say. But that's false.
Right.
That's not true. That's someone who hasn't done enough research.
Right, absolutely.
The truth is, the pagans took over the day from us.
Right.
Amen.
So don't believe the lies.
Right.
What about December 25th? Isn't that a day of paganism? No, it's not. The Iranian Persians, they are antichrist. They're Hindus and Muslims, you understand that? And they took over the day from the Christians. The second controversial matter of fact here is that Jesus couldn't have been born on December 25th because the Bible doesn't give us that date. And it was too cold for the shepherds to be out in the fields. Has anybody heard this stuff? Raise your hand. One person, three people? Okay, the rest of you just need to be alerted because you probably will hear it sooner or later. Although the scripture doesn't give us the exact date of Jesus' birth, it is very possible and even likely that it was right around that date. And we believe, again, that's why those Christians way back in 221 A.D. were celebrating that day as his birthday. An in-depth look at the scriptures where Jesus said, search the scriptures.
Yes.
Jesus said, what saith the scriptures? Jesus said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Okay? So let's look back in Luke chapter 1. Let me show you this first. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. So they say, first of all, December 25th was a pagan day. No, it was our day first. And the reason it is our day, Luke chapter 1, verse 5, notice. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. Now, this is going to be a lot of studying and teaching, but just stay with me. It'll help edify you if you listen. This priest named Zacharias, who, by the way, was the father of John the Baptist, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So, in that day, we see, or in that verse, we see there, that Zacharias was of the course of Abiah or Abijah in the Old Testament. Now I've got some handouts for you here if you want one. I'm going to go over this, but there's no way you're going to retain all this. I'm not going to give it to you now, but you can take this after the message. But biblical conclusions arrived at that December 25th very well could be the day of his birth. The Hebrew calendar has 354 days, not 365. It's a little bit shorter. Okay, their month Nisan corresponds with our mid-March, mid-April. This is the month when they celebrate the Passover. This is their first month on their religious calendar. If you go back to 1 Chronicles 24, just listen, the descendants of Aaron were divided by David into 24 groups to serve two roles. They were governors of the sanctuary, they were governors of the house of God. Each group served according to a schedule drawn up by casting lots. In other words, they just drew straws to find out when they were going to serve by their family, by their lineage. According to 2 Chronicles 23:8, it would seem that the priests served for 1 week at a time from Sabbath to Sabbath. They served twice a year, along with all the mandatory feasts of Passover, first fruits, and tabernacles. Now, again, Luke chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that Zacharias was of the course of Abiah. Or in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles 24, his name is Abijah, the Hebrew and the Greek, but the same person. According to that 1 Chronicles 24:10, his family, Abijah, was assigned to the eighth course. That means that Zacharias would serve on the ninth week and the 35th week, okay, of those Jewish years. These weeks would fall in the spring and the autumn of our calendar. It was during this normal term of service that Gabriel, again, he was just serving his term of service here in Luke chapter 1, and Gabriel appeared to him. You remember the story. I'm not going to read all that for sake of time. Gabriel appeared to him to tell him that John would be born, that his prayers were heard. Amen. Keep praying, by the way. They were praying for a long time for a child. They were way past childbearing age, and they were still praying.
Amen.
Amen. It was already physically, humanly impossible, but they were still praying.
Amen.
I like that. Amen. But the fact is that Gabriel showed up. Now, we believe this was the second rotation of his year, over in the 34th, 5th week. So Zacharias completed his service, and he went home in the fall. The Bible tells us, look over in verse 23 of Luke chapter 1. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. So the Bible tells us there that he went, he stayed. Even after the angel appeared to him, he didn't just run home and tell Elizabeth. Now there's some preaching right there about faithfulness, about commitment, about finishing your duties. Y'all getting so quiet on me now, come on. But he did not quit. He didn't drop everything and say, I'm going to go tell Mama. No, he finished what God told him to do. No doubt, shortly after he got home, he told Elizabeth, he couldn't speak, but he could tell her. He could write. We know that he wrote down things that the angel told him, because he wrote down, his name shall be called John, right? And then God loosed his tongue. But no doubt after he got home, we believe it makes sense that Elizabeth conceived with John. So that date would put John's conception around October, the end of October. And Gabriel appeared to Mary, you remember, 6 months later. Elizabeth's pregnancy was already 6 months into it. Then Gabriel announced the birth of Christ to Mary. This would have been early spring, okay? October around the early spring, 6 months later. 9 months later, a baby takes 9 months. You know the story, right? I don't need to go into that. 9 months later would be early winter. Okay, early winter again. And again, the calendar's a little bit different, but that puts it right back around December.
Yeah.
Okay, are you listening? So that comes from a study of the Bible.
Yeah.
Now, the shepherds also play a very big role in this. The Bible tells us in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, it mentions a place called the Tower of the Flock. Now, many people argue that Christmas cannot be December 25th. We're just a bunch of deceived idiots. It's pagan. It can't, because the shepherds were out keeping watch of their field, their flock, by night. There's no way they would have been out there in the middle of the winter. At nighttime, it's too cold. Okay, but one thing, Jerusalem, Israel doesn't get nearly as cold as you think it does.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, it has a very different climate than, amen, Illinois. Okay, the shepherds also, though, they play a big role in understanding that we can celebrate December 25th. And it probably is more closer to his birthday than we think. Many say they would not because it was too cold. However, and there's a field between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Remember, he was born in Bethlehem, amen, and there's a field between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, which, by the way, is just a few miles south of Jerusalem, and it's called the Tower of the Flock. Listen now, this is documented truth. You got to study this, but I thank God for His Word and study. This is not in the Bible, but you could, in Micah 4:8, it talks about the Tower of the Flock. Shepherds kept the spotless lambs in that place. It was the Tower of the Flock. It was an isolated place, and shepherds kept, those were the spotless lambs that were kept for the special sacrifices.
Right.
And they watched those, and they kept those year round.
Yeah.
Year-round. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Even in the winter.
Amen.
Now, isn't it interesting? Didn't John the Baptist point at Jesus with that locust-stained finger, honey dripping off of it, say, behold, the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting that Jesus was born and the announcement went to the shepherds who were watching the spotless lambs who were set aside for the sacrifice? Are y'all listening to me? Did I bore you to death already?
Brother.
I mean, I think God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
I think God went to those men, those shepherds. Yes, they were simple shepherds. They were meager lifestyles. They weren't sheep. They were just watching the sheep. But it's interesting that the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, was born at the same time that the spotless lambs out in the field were being born and taken care of and prepared for their sacrifice, just like Jesus was. I don't think there's any coincidence here. I think we need to get excited about the fact that God makes no mistakes. Amen. And that December 25th is absolutely very much, we can't put our finger on the date, but nobody can.
Amen.
Right, yeah.
But we can't say that it's not at all possible, because it's very possible that it was right around that date when Jesus was born.
Yes. Amen. Thank God.
Now, let me get into another point of controversy here real quick. The Christmas tree. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. I'm just trying to help you this morning. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 1. I'm not, by the way, I'm in no way, shape, or fashion telling you to do anything or not do anything. Okay? I'm just giving you the reason I celebrate Christmas.
Amen.
On December 25th. And the reason that I have a Christmas tree. You don't have to do anything that I do. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to not do anything. I'm just giving you some insight, okay, from the Bible.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to believe the lies that other people are telling people. Jeremiah 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. These are the verses that are commonly used to argue against the use of Christmas trees.
Yeah.
These verses, however, are referring to idolatrous people worshiping trees as idols, bowing down to these trees. Notice, it says that they were cut them out of the forest, and they deck it with silver in verse 4. They fasten it, they're worshiping this as an idol. Verse 5 says, they're upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, thy name is great in might. So these folks were worshiping the tree instead of worshiping the Lord.
Right.
Okay? These folks were decking this tree, but not, they were making it an idol unto themselves. They were worshiping, but can I tell you something? The Christmas tree is not an idol.
Right.
It has never been an idol. Okay, let me give you the history of the Christmas tree. In the 8th century, a missionary went to Germany to preach Christ. A missionary went to Germany to preach Jesus to the Germans. The tribes in Germany, they worshiped the oak tree. They thought of it as a symbol of deity. It was big and huge and thick, and they do live a long time. Oak trees. The missionary, however, in his attempts to teach them of Christ, using the Word of God, but using also their own symbolism, he taught them that an oak tree was a poor symbol of Christ, of God. Because an oak tree in the wintertime loses all its leaves, right? And it just looks like it's dead. It looks dead. So he told them, if any tree should remind them of God, it should be an evergreen tree.
Yeah.
An evergreen tree. Why? Because it's always alive. It never loses its leaves. It never even appears to be dead, even after you cut it down. In later times, Christmas trees became popular in England, okay, because of the German-born Prince Albert. You remember Prince Albert? Now, you maybe not remember him personally, but in America... In America, the Christmas trees were introduced by Dutch German immigrants in Pennsylvania. In other words, the Christmas tree came from that background of a missionary teaching the truth of God, teaching the truth of Jesus Christ, and that tree tradition kind of just passed down. And by the way, consider the beautiful picture, and not an idol. It's not a worshiping idol. I have never seen anybody bow down to their Christmas tree. Now, if you do, I'm not making fun of you, but that's not what it's for, okay? This is the Christmas tree, really, the evergreen tree, is a beautiful picture of the gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
The gospel. Cut it down. Well, that's the cross, amen. Jesus Christ was cut down. He died. He died. He was buried. He was cut down to the ground. He was buried. But listen, when you bring it in the house, what do? You raise it back up.
Yeah.
Amen. You put it back up. It's resurrection, amen. You cut it down, but it raises back up. It's a picture of the... And then, what do with it? You decorate it. It's greater glory and splendor than it ever had before.
Yeah.
Jesus, when he was resurrected, amen, he had a new body. He had a glorified body. He had glory that he never had during his earthly life, except for on the Mount of Transfiguration. You understand what I'm saying? But so when you decorate that tree, it's a picture of a resurrected Savior in a glorified body, decked out, glorious, and then you put lights on it. Didn't Jesus say, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
He that walketh after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Amen.
So we have a Savior who is very well symbolized. Now listen, we don't bow down to that Christmas tree, no more than we bow down to a picture of the cross, okay? We don't worship that. That's not a graven image that's taken God's place. It's simply a reminder, a memorial, if you will. It's not an idol. It's not a thing of worship. It's just a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ and His gospel. He came to die. He was born to die. He was born to give us life. Amen. And the Christmas season, there's nothing wrong with putting up a Christmas tree. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Jeremiah chapter 10 has nothing to do with what we're talking about when it comes to Christmas trees. Okay, everybody with me so far?
Amen.
All right. Again, if you don't like Christmas trees, that's up to you completely. But maybe you just don't know, so hopefully I can help you. If you don't believe me, I think I'm telling you the truth. Amen. It's just simply, I want to give you one more verse, though, in Luke chapter 23 as well. This may nail it for you, may not, but again, it's up to you. I'm just preaching. You have to make a decision what you're going to do. Luke chapter 23, verse 31. Jesus was on his way to be crucified. And let's look in verse 28. Luke 23, 28. Jesus, turning unto them, unto the daughters and the women who were the great company of bewailing and lamenting him, he said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Notice in verse 31. For if they do these things in a...
green tree.
In a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Jesus, you know what he's saying? If they do these things while I'm standing in front of them, a green tree. Now, am I stretching it here? I don't think so at all. I think he's referring to himself as a live tree, a green tree who does not die, who does not fall. He says, if they're doing this stuff with me standing right in front of them, what are they going to do when I'm gone?
Yeah.
What are your children going to do when I'm not here? That's what he's saying. You better not weep for me. You need to weep for your children. Weep for the next generations. Because if they're doing this to me, my soul, what are they going to do after I'm gone? For instance, are men going to start marrying men? Women going to start marrying women? Yeah, you understand what I'm saying now? So that he says, he compares himself to a green tree. So there. I mean, stick that in your back pocket somewhere and throw it out next time somebody cries to you about the Christmas tree. Now, are y'all with me still? I thought that was a blessing. Y'all don't seem like that's a blessing to you. But when he calls himself a green tree, I know he's not talking about the Christmas tree literally. But the point is, he uses that term. So let's just give God the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what about giving gifts on Christmas? Again, people say, well, it's just a bunch of commercialism and people are taking it way too far and we don't need to do all that. And Can I tell you something? I agree with the fact that Christmas has been very commercialized.
Yeah.
America. But can I tell you something? That's mostly just in our country.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You go overseas in many other countries, Christians that celebrate Christmas, they don't have Walmart.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't have mail order, Amazon, eBay, and all that other stuff. Now, most of them do, but the point is, they don't have the finances, the wherewithal, to shower their children with 40 gifts each.
Yeah.
You know what they do is they give them something simple as a token of love.
Amen,
for them.
Right.
It's a gift. Now, so yes, America has blown this thing out, but you know, America's blown Valentine's Day out of proportion too.
Oh, yeah.
Every month there's something that you got to both spend money on somebody else for.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we're driven by retail.
Yeah, come on.
Yep.
Retail.
What in the world, man? But that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. That doesn't have anything to do with the truth. If America has corrupted it and polluted it, well, so be it. But that doesn't mean that I can't give gifts to somebody that I love.
Amen.
You see what I mean? Now, granted, I don't have the money to give you everything you want anyway. But but the fact is, other countries, it's just a symbol of love. It's a display of love and appreciation. America's corrupted it. I know that. But listen, let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay? After all, the whole concept of Christmas is about gifts.
Amen.
Giving. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Yeah.
When did He give His only begotten Son? On Christmas Day!
Amen.
Amen. Amen. On Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. I don't like the pressure that you feel like, I've got to give you this, and I've got to give you that, Now, I know all that's... Okay, well, don't feel pressure. You give gifts as you can.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
But understand something. Giving gifts is nothing wrong. The entire, God's whole book, God's whole New Testament, Jesus Himself is the greatest gift ever given to man.
That's right.
So, of course, we're going to give gifts. I mean, He gave us His life. God so loved the world that the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Jesus, listen, Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me, I lay it down." Why?
Amen.
Because it was a gift to you
yes.
and to me.
Yes.
Amen. When I go buy you a gift, nobody's making me buy you a gift.
Sure.
Nobody's taking me to the store and saying, "Buy that gift for Ethan."
Yeah.
No. I do it myself because I desire for you to have something. See the difference there? So listen, that Jesus laid His life down Himself. Now, lastly. Lastly, what about Santa Claus?
Come on, brother,
let's hear it. Turn your Bibles. I'm just kidding. You're not going to find him here. Okay? This is where I draw the line, okay? I disagree. But can I say, I just want to say this. Santa Claus has become... a replacement for Jesus.
Right.
I mean, after all, don't they say he knows if you're sleeping?
Yeah.
He knows if you're awake.
Right.
He knows if you've been bad
good.
Or good. No, he doesn't know that. No man knows that.
That's right. Except God.
Except my Savior.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, why did they put him in a red suit? I don't know. Why not put him in a white suit? Why red? It's not blood either. Don't give me that junk. I think it's the colors of the fires. No, I'm just kidding. The fires of hell. It's not really Santa Claus. It's really Satan Claus.
There you go. Come on.
All I got to do is just change the letter around.
Yeah.
But really, in all reality, I'm having a little fun here, but there is a legend about, and whether it's true or not, a man named Nicholas, and he was very rich, and he gave gifts to the poor. But can I tell you something? This man's no longer alive.
That's right. Amen, brother.
He's no longer alive.
Amen.
And there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. We talked about that already, but this man's no longer alive. So we need to stop crediting him, or crediting some fictitious man in a red suit, and make children think that Jesus, or Santa Claus, is just as powerful as Jesus. They talk about him being almighty, and he can get to every house in the world in one night, and get down chimneys, and all that other stuff, and it's making kids confused.
Amen, brother. Come on. That's right.
The word Santa means saint. It means holy in Spanish. And so they're calling him a saint.
Yes.
Santa means saint.
That's right.
Amen. Saint Claus. Listen, there's only the only way you can become a saint, dear child of God, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way you can become a saint is through being born again into the family of God. And I'm only a saint because His righteousness has been made my righteousness through Jesus Christ, or vice versa.
Amen.
So I'm not going to call just any old body saint. And I'm certainly not going to give him credit for the gifts that I buy my children.
Amen.
Now why are you going to tell Destiny, you still believe in Santa Claus? Did I just destroy your Christmas?
Benny,
I just ruined Benny's Christmas. You know, that's why I left the little children over there. I thought they would be the only ones that still believed. Jamaria, come on. No, listen, the whole point of giving gifts is because we love and appreciate, and we want somebody to know that by giving them something that we want them to have. So why are you going to give a fat man in a red suit credit for that?
Yeah, come on.
Who doesn't exist. I'm not going to do that. There's no point in that. Now, you say, well, preacher, I grew up believing in Santa Claus and I'm okay. But that doesn't make it right.
That's right.
That doesn't mean it's okay. I'm not going to do it. Again, you do what you want to do. This is just an informational message for you to take home and chew on. Okay? But I don't believe it's important. I think it's anti-Christ, really, to give all the credit to this fat man who doesn't exist because of one man who did something good a long time ago. We can continue that custom. We can continue the tradition, but we don't have to give credit to somebody who's dead a long time ago. We can take credit for it because of the love of God that's in our hearts, the Jesus Christ that was born for us and gave us life eternal, and now we're His, and now we want to give you a gift out of love and appreciation for you. And by the way, let's not forget that this is the greatest opportunity in the world to witness to people about why Jesus came. Why He came. Oh, because the world knows about Jesus. They see the reason for the season all over the place, but they don't have a clue why He came.
That's right, brother.
Well, He came. Listen, there's many times that I've led into witnessing by asking people that. Do you know about Jesus being born? Yeah, I know. Okay, you know He was born in the manger? Yeah, I know. Okay, do you know why He came? And sometimes they'll say, well, to die on the cross. Now, if they get that far. To die on the cross. Okay, good. Now, do you know? Just keep going.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Good.
Amen. Why He died on the cross? Well, He died for our sins. Okay, that's good. And they're just regurgitating something they've heard. Okay, do you know why He died on the cross for our sins? Sooner or later, they're going to go...
Yeah.
They're stumped.
Yeah.
Well, He came to die for my sins, but I don't know why. If they say something, then you ask them this. This is the question they get. What good does that do you? How does that help you?
Yeah, come on.
And they don't know. Well, this is a beautiful time of the year.
Amen. Absolutely.
To witness to people about Jesus.
Amen.
Because, I mean, people talk about Jesus, whether they know it or not, they don't understand, but they're still talking about Jesus this time of year, which is good.
Amen, yeah.
Don't stop that. I don't want that to stop. But use that. Hey, I hear you talking about Jesus, and you know Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, do you know why He came? And I mean, use that thing. Take advantage of these next few weeks. Take advantage of the fact that you can be a witness for Christ, and God's giving you a wide open opportunity for the next few weeks. Because people are thinking about Jesus' birth, and they may not believe it, but they've heard it. They may not understand it, but they heard it. And you can take that and use it. So I'm telling you today, I believe, you don't have to believe what I believe, but I believe Christmas is absolutely 100% fine to celebrate as a Christian.
Amen.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, like I said, it's a tremendous time for us. We ought to be closer to God during this time of year than ever before. He said, what about Easter? Easter's fine too. But let's not forget the fact that He had to come before He could be resurrected.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So yes, I believe it 100%. Celebrate Christmas. If you have some doubts about it, let me remove your doubts from the scripture. I hope I've done that today. And Jesus, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil."
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So yes, that's worth celebrating.
Amen.
I'm glad he came
to celebrate.
I'm glad he came to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes.
Amen.
You know why? Because I couldn't do it.
That's right.
You couldn't do it.
That's right.
We needed him to come.
Amen.
And folks, rejoice.
Amen.
Good tidings. Great joy. Amen, Brother Bruce.
Amen.
Great joy to all people.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. Celebrate it. Don't worry about the tree stuff. People just don't understand, okay? Don't worry about the gifts. Forget Santa Claus. Yes, I would say that. But Jesus is worthy of our honor and glory and his birth. Listen, his birth is a wonderful time to celebrate.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your grace. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for these dear people here today. Lord, I don't know where they stand. I don't know. I have a feeling some of them probably agree with me. But Lord, I pray for others that maybe have other thoughts or opinions. Lord, help them to understand, Father, that I'm in no way telling anybody what to do. I just simply am sharing with them what I believe as the pastor of this church from the Bible to help your people have an alternative, have something to think about, meditate on this time of year. Lord, either way, I pray you'd help us to be witnesses. Witnesses, Lord, for Jesus. Witnesses of his coming, his death, and his burial, and his salvation through his resurrection. Lord, bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's all stand to our feet.